Good morning, everybody. Got a few more people finding their way in, which is a good thing. I just want to say welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church, and we're glad you're here. Whether it's your first time, your 10th time, or your 200th time, we're always glad to have you here worshiping in our community of faith. Also today, we will have some announcements, and during the time of offering, if you would pass the hospitality register, that's when you sign your name, let us know who you are, and also let your neighbor know who you are, just in case you don't know each other, and it's a great way to greet each other as well. If you have any questions after service, an elder will be at the communion table welcoming your comments and your questions, and take time to say what you liked about service, and if you have other thoughts about what we might want to do in the future, so please take that opportunity. Following worship today, there'll be time for fellowship in the fellowship hall, so please find your way down to the fellowship hall down at the end of this hallway. And at this time, we do have a few announcements, and Jan, you're up. Now we're going to leave Larry for last.
Good morning. Jan Buettner from the property development team. Just a reminder that next week, following the special congregational meeting, we will have a second hour presentation by Sherry Watt-Reed, who is the Director of Residential Services for East House, which is the agency that we are partnering with Pathstone. Sherry will be here to give a presentation overview of their services and to answer any of your questions. So we hope to see you all there. Thanks.
Good morning. Welcome to Kickoff Sunday. Sunday school will be starting, and youth group tonight, we have our first party at 6 o'clock. So the way it's going to work this morning is at Thoughts for Children, you'll come forward with your children or send them up by themselves if they're all right with that, and we're going to have the commissioning for teachers and advisors during that. We'll excuse teachers if they need to go, and I'll keep the kids for just a little bit longer, and then they'll all go to their classes. Pre-K through 4th grade are going to be in room 2 over here, and then 5th through 8th graders will be in the junior high lounge right during worship. After church, senior highs will have Sunday school in their lounge. This year it will be a little bit different. They're only going to meet once a month, and we will provide lunch, so it should be extra fun. So if you have any questions about anything going on tonight, please let me know. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Coons, Clerk of Session, and I just want to remind you that next week, immediately following worship, will be a special congregational meeting. The purpose will be to select candidates to serve on our designated pastor nominating committee. Basically, that is the group of people who will be reviewing resumes, interviewing possible candidates for our next pastor. If you're interested in who the session has selected, they're listed in the bulletin today. If you have any questions, please feel free to see someone in session, and please attend the meeting. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Larry Wakeman on behalf of the Generosity team. I'd like to welcome you all to the fall kickoff, and today we're having dessert in the fellowship hall right after worship, so please join us for that. And I'd also like to talk to you about a different approach to stewardship this year. We're calling it dessert first. And what does that mean? Well, as children, we're taught to eat our meals in a certain way. We have potatoes and vegetables and meat and dessert last, usually. But giving first to God is a lot like eating dessert first. It's not a reasonable thing to do. We're taught to take care of our practical needs first and then give God whatever's left. So dessert first, celebrating God's blessings, invites us instead to give first to God. To give generously from our hearts filled gratitude for all we've received from God. It calls us to exercise faith that God will take care of all our needs. Dessert first also invites us to share with our faith community our personal stories of giving and receiving and of God's faithfulness. To that end, a vital part of the campaign involves collecting, publishing, and distributing a booklet of devotionals on giving written by members of this congregation. On October 13th, please join us again for dessert after service and to receive your dessert first giving packets. It'll look a lot like this. It'll contain devotionals, giving intentions card, and a cover letter. to outline the program again. Over the next few weeks after you receive that, please prayerfully look over the devotionals and join us for Celebration Sunday on November 10th, where we will receive your giving intentions cards, and we really will have dessert first. We'll have dessert lined up right outside the sanctuary. You can grab something, come on in. Yeah, I know the trustees probably aren't too happy about that. But you can enjoy dessert while we celebrate all of God's blessings. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12 says, "If we give eagerly according to our means, that is acceptable to God. He does not ask for what we do not have." Thank you.
It's nice to know, even though we're Presbyterians, we can break the rules once in a while. One other announcement, I was handed a note that there is a box of mole sauce left from the food link distribution in the fellowship hall in a yellow cooler. And those that wish to, I guess, can help themselves to that. So any other announcements anybody has to share this morning? All right, well, it's my indeed my great pleasure to welcome back to the pulpit Reverend Bruce Boak. Bruce has been with us in the past, and he is an engaging speaker, and I'm sure you will find his sermon today to be such. So there's a little bit more about Bruce in your bulletin, so take a moment to familiarize yourself with who he is. His wife Martha is here with us this morning as well, so Martha, welcome to you. So at this time, let us pause and take a moment to prepare ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our entire beings to worship our great God.
Like Jeremiah crying, or cities that were lost, we see children dying who know pain's awful cost.
Each day we see the story, sin makes its
toll. O God, you came to save us in Christ, your suffering Son. In his death you forgave us, and his life joy is won. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
seeking God with relentless persistence, you look until you find where we are in our lostness. In unconditional love, you move to save us from the harshness of the world into which we have wandered, following our own will and way. You show us that nothing can deter you from your intention to bring us back to you and to enfold us in the safety of your love. How great and good you are. As your sought out and rescued people, we rejoice in praising and worshiping you this day. Amen.
I know I'm visiting, but I'd like to know, is there anybody here who is perfect? Well, my fellow sinners, now's a time when we can corporately, together, confess our sin to Almighty God. O God, we admit that we often feel lost. We are confused by the information explosion coming at us. We confess we have doubted your ability, even your desire to enter our lives and enlighten our way. We have trusted more in our own knowledge and premeditated wisdom to save us while listening to the messages and opinions of so many voices, all the while wondering, is that all there is? Then you burst in upon the human scene long ago with a heretical message of Jesus to challenge us with the truth of your active presence and caring. Forgive us for our wandering, for failing to hear and see you close at hand, and our hesitancy to respond to your word. We confess we are resistant or unwilling to be found by you, instinctively knowing you will work to change us. It is then that you are much more God than we want. Forgive us, we pray. Amen. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God did not give up on humanity, but came seeking us in Christ. When we were lost in sin, God appeared among us in Jesus Christ. In him, God has done an amazing work of rescue. We are found forgiven and freed by the gracious God of creation. Glory be to God.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. Welcome to church today. This is a special and exciting day because it is the first day of Sunday school for this new school year. We're going to start our time together this morning by commissioning all of your teachers and the youth group advisors. And this means that we are officially giving them the task of teaching you and helping you learn and grow, and that our congregation will show their support in prayer. So teachers and youth advisors, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. There's a lot of you. I'll just ask you to stand where you are when I call your name. So for the toddler room, Anne Tonery DeMars, which she is probably back there doing her job. Pre-K to fourth, Lauren Henderberg, Linda Sidori, Cam Mosgraber, Beth Marconi, and Tess McKeel. 5-8, Keith Hadley and Anne-Marie Sim. Senior High Sunday School, Mary Hadley and Carrie Dykes. Junior High Sunday School, Junior High Youth Group, Carol Balsley, Dave Balsley, Beth Molina, and Nancy Hasenlop. Senior High Youth Group, Tracy Berkovich and Keisha Binko. And we have a bunch of youth teen helpers you can stand to if you're here. That's Rachel Kelly, Aaliyah Binko, Carson Wohlers, Zach Henshin, Harmony Cook, and Meredith Hart. Awesome. So we are a community called together to be God's people. Together we learn from each other and share our gifts. Teachers and advisors, you have accepted the responsibility of leading and nurturing the children and youth of this congregation. You have been asked to share your talents with them so that the word of God may be understood and the love of Christ be experienced by them. Do you promise to prepare responsibly, to be eager and energetic, to teach and advise with loving care, and to pray for the children and youth with whom you are working? If so, please say, I do. Children and youth, you are an important part of our church. From you we learn, and with you we discover the joy of journeying with God. Will you promise to come to Sunday school and youth group with an open heart and an open mind so that together we may learn to live the way God wants us to live? If so, please say, I do. Parents, do you promise to encourage your children and youth to live in the way of Christ through your conversation, your prayers, and by your example? Will you support and communicate with your children's teachers and advisors so they can be a helpful part of your church family? If so, please say, I do. And members of the congregation, when children are baptized, you promise to care for each new disciple, teach them the good news of the gospel, and strengthen their bonds with the household of God. Will you also pray for the learning ministry of this church, for its committee members, for its teachers and advisors, for its youth and children? If so, please say, I will. Let us pray. God, you have brought us together in this community of faith. We are grateful for the gifts that each person brings to our church, and we rejoice that you have brought us together to grow as your people. May we learn from each other and serve you faithfully in this world. Amen. And now, teachers, if you're teaching, I'll excuse you to go, and I'm going to hold the kids here for just another minute. So, if you were paying attention to the prayer, you might have noticed that Sunday school is one way in which we, the people of the church, can fulfill the baptismal promises we make to you to teach you more about God's love, as well as honor Jesus' invitation of welcome to all children. So we hope that in Sunday school this year, you learn, share your questions and struggles, and discover how to live your faith in daily life. Will you join me in prayer? So repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for my teachers. Please keep my heart open to learning about your love, and help us feel the love from our church family today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. All right, please go to your classes.
Thank you. That was wonderful. A collect is a kind of a brief prayer or a gathering our thoughts before we read Scripture, and I want to make an apology to you. I know that last Sunday, a fellow classmate of mine, Rod Froman, was here. I've been in prayer for you, knowing that Rod had been here. And he read from the lectionary, and because of that, I thought, well, we'll read from the lectionary as well. And so he read from Luke 14, and this week it just happens to be the first part of Luke 15. I like the second part better. And so I thought, well, maybe we could get our hands around it, Luke 15, verses 1 to 10, if we had a collect and then eventually a hymn that would tell the same story of that gospel lesson. And so I want to take responsibility for choosing the God-awful hymn that you'll be asked to try and sing. But first the collect, and I invite you to share it with me. God in love is always seeking. See a woman with her broom. For a single coin, she's sweeping every corner of the room. When it's found, she calls each neighbor, telling friends from all around. So God says to search and labor till God's precious ones are found.
Thank you.
first reading of the word is from Timothy 1, verses 12 through 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to a service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them a parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A response for us to share. God's great love is so amazing. See a shepherd with his flocks. 99 are safely grazing. One is lost among the rocks. That good shepherd goes and searches till he finds the one astray. So God says to fill our churches with the ones who've lost their way. Now you know why the hymn, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Shall not want. God, give me a break. I want lots of things. I'd like to have a nicer house, a better job, a pay raise. I want people to do what I say when I say to do it. And I wouldn't mind winning the lottery either. I want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Lord, I have no problem with the word of this psalm until you get to makes me. That sounds a little bit legalistic, don't you think? First you say I can't want things, and now you're making me do things. He restoreth my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I don't care to be guided down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I prefer the more scenic routes. How about taking me to Hawaii? What about Vegas? I'm getting a little tired of the paths of righteousness. The next thing you know, you'll be leading me through a very dark place. Even though I walk through the darkest valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. What in the world am I doing walking through the valley of the shadows of death? I thought I was supposed to be lying down in green pastures. Did you make a wrong turn here, God? You call yourself a shepherd? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. To tell you the truth, a rod and a staff are not my idea of comfort. Now, a rod and a reel, that's different. Back massage, that would be better. Skip the staff stuff. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Great. Out of all the restaurants in the world, you choose the one where my enemies like to eat. I'm going to enjoy every bite of that, I'm sure. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I don't really like oil on my head. I'd prefer shampoo. And for goodness sake, can't you stop pouring before my cup overflows? What kind of waiter are you anyway? How would you like to have hot coffee spilled all over your hand? Surely goodness and the loving kindness of God will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Really? I don't want to be confined to a house forever. Sounds kind of like prison. Might be nice to step outside every few thousand years or so. I just don't understand why people love this psalm. That is Ken Crockett writing in his book, I Once Was Blind, But Now I Squint. Most people look at the cover at the library and think that this book was not written by Ken Crockett, whose name appears on the back cover, but the author on the front says it's printed by a woman, written by a woman, her name being Ima Weiner. It's interesting. How many references there are in the scriptures to sheep and shepherds? And Psalm 23 is probably the most familiar, but today's lesson from Luke's Gospel is among the best known of the stories. More so, perhaps, than our recollection of all of those I am sayings, like, I am the good shepherd, I am the door of the sheep. So today, we're going to walk around that short parable in Luke where Jesus asked, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? Google Earth estimates that there are more than 105 million parking spaces for cars in the United States of America. And your vehicle is occupying one of them right now. Well, I mean, that's easy here at Gates. You have a commodious parking lot outside the church. Usually my problem is, where did I park my car on Black Friday when I'm shopping at the mall? Now think Disney World. The parking lot at Disney World includes more than 46,000 parking spaces. And every day, a good number of the guests cannot remember where they left their car. Visitors arrive at the theme park
revved up to have a good time, and they really aren't paying quite the best attention. And what's more, they may be piloting a rental car whose color and make they can't remember. Well, Disney employees help. But did you know that each parking section has a Disney character name in the Disney parking lot? There's Chip and Dale, there's Pluto, there's Goofy. Clearly identifiable with prominently posted pictures of the Disney characters. As arriving guests board their trams, they carry themselves into the park. The tram drivers tell the visitors what lot that they are in and urge them to take note of the picture so that they can remember it, of the Disney character where their car is. But still, so many people fail to remember that Disney now employs a very small army called the Parking Cast, whose job it is to reassure flummoxed folks and reunite them with their autos. The Parking Cast. Only Disney could create such a thing for finding your car. Now, the Parking Cast uses an array of tools, including perseverance and technology and clues. For starters, Disney keeps track of when each of their lots fills. That way, if visitors can remember approximately when they arrived, the cast can narrow the search to a specific lot. Disney workers also ask what visitors remember seeing on their route to the parking lot. If the misplaced car has OnStar, cast members get the driver to call it, and they use global positioning. Often Disney employees drive the lost individuals around in a company car from Disney, asking guests to lean out the window and hit the panic button on their key fob. Through one means or another, Disney usually manages to relink guests with their cars, finding the lost, enabling park visitors to go on their way. But can you imagine how you would feel if you were a driver who discovers that you left your car in Dopey? We don't know if the members of Disney's Parking Cast have a favorite Bible passage, but these two little parables in today's gospel are good candidates. With the stories of losing and finding, it's obvious why not only the parking lot cast, but also the hapless guests might identify with these very short stories from Jesus. And yet, as I read them, Jesus indicates that both the shepherd and the homemaker are so thrilled at finding the lost coin or the sheep that they call their neighbors together and throw a big party. Well, Disney won't react that way. For them, helping baffled visitors is all in a day's work. And surely they don't party every time they succeed. As for the guests, they're probably not filled with joy, just a little chagrin. So how do you usually react when you finally locate something that's been missing? I mean, like most of us, you've probably lost and found not only coins, but keys, glasses, watches, pens, books, socks, slippers, a myriad of other things. But how often have you felt that a party was warranted when you found them? So when Jesus asks, which one of you would not have a party?
I wouldn't.
Lots of folks over the summer vacation were at the Cape. They attended family reunions in North Carolina, spent their days near Chautauqua, down on Cuca Lake. And every weekend throughout the summer, there's a festival in some community around Rochester. And then we get to the threshold of fall, like today. And it's a homecoming of sorts. Sunday school starts. Stewardship. School begins, and here at Gates Presbyterian Church, I don't know you, but my guess is that some of summer's lost are in worship. How wonderful the lectionary's gospel lesson should have these little parables cascading from the mind of Jesus. But I struggle to identify, particularly with the shepherd. See, I know most people get attached to their pets. It's not unreasonable to assume that a shepherd actually cared for the individual animals in his flock. In that case, the shepherd searching for the missing sheep was more than just trying to maintain the profitability of what he was taking care of. The finding of the lost sheep becomes a source of joy because the flocks would otherwise feel incomplete without the shepherd. So which pet owner of you, having lost your animal companion and then found it again, might at least call your friends and tell them how happy you are? Takes a little effort. For us, in this country, to identify with people who have just a few things. I mean, we have dozens of pens. If we misplace one, no big deal. Pick up another one. Even for gadgets where we don't have extras, it's often easier to go buy another one and spend time searching for the wayward one. That was not so in the first century. People owned very far fewer things, and a lost silver coin in the parable was the equivalent of a full day's pay. Even more than that. During Jesus' time, 10 coins was something most each new bride received on the day she was married. Those coins were valuable enough to be her complete dowry and to take care of her should her husband die and she become a widow. Losing one of the coins was the equivalent of losing your wedding band or your engagement ring. Does that help you understand the parable better? It's almost never easy to identify with God, but that's who these two parables are describing. After each of them, Jesus gives the moral of the story, stating that the repentance of one lone sinner is the occasion for great joy in heaven. Who can say why, after all the members of the human race God created, God experiences such exhilaration over the conversion of one? Which of you, says Jesus, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one until he finds it? And when he's found, he lays it on his shoulders. And when he comes home, he throws this party. And I thought, how beautiful, how touching, how nuts. Tell you why. Where I grew up, Western Pennsylvania, we had an old hymn in our old hymnal that went this way. And there were 99 who safely lay in the shelter of the fold. Maybe some of you learned how to sing that. That is not how Jesus told the parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that's lost? He left them where? In the wilderness. Now, 100 sheep is a good-sized flock. Surely the shepherd would not miss one, but he does. And that sheep is valuable, so valuable that he will risk leaving his other 99 in the wilderness where they are vulnerable to predators to find this one who's wandered off, so valuable that when he gets home, he calls his friends and neighbors and has them rejoice. Now, sheep are not the brightest animals on the planet. It's said that sheep get lost by nibbling away at the grass, never looking up. People are kind of like that, too. Have you ever been nibbling along one day, and all of a sudden you looked up and thought, now, how did I get here? If you want to see some sheep nibbling, just go to Turning Stone Casino. And you walk through those football-sized rooms of people stuffing coins and tokens into those slot machines. And sheep are kind of born followers. They follow the other sheep. New school teacher in farming community in Texas asked her class, if there were 12 sheep in a field and one jumped over the fence, how many would be left? One young man said, none. Teacher said, you don't know your arithmetic, young man. He said, no, ma'am, but I do know my sheep. Sheep are followers, and sometimes they're not too wise about whom they choose to follow. Two photos once appeared together on the front page of a local newspaper, the Camden, Maine Herald. One photo was a board of aldermen and the town manager huddled together at a meeting. The other photo on the other side of the front page of the paper was a flock of sheep. But somebody made a mistake and the captions got reversed. Under the picture of the sheep, the caption identified them as the alderman and town manager. Under the photo of the distinguished fathers of the community, the caption read this way. The sheep, naive and vulnerable, huddle for security against the uncertainties of the outside world. Let's face it. You and I are oftentimes like sheep. We dibble ourselves into situations that are too big for us to handle. We follow other sheep, sometimes unwisely. We don't think for ourselves. There we are, the sheep, naive, vulnerable, huddled for security against the uncertainties of the outside world. And does our shepherd care? Luke says yes. He cares about us individually. He's willing to risk. This is a big story for a small parable. This is just the beginning of what is lost. If you read this chapter of Luke, we have these two little short parables and then the much longer one, which is the story about the lost son that follows. That'll be for another Sunday. That is, in my opinion, the most valuable story in the entire Bible. But this one sets us up to understand it, these two short things. The world really looks big when someone is lost. Do you remember a few years ago when that big tsunami hit Japan? Are you aware that there are people still today who have learned how to do deep sea diving Japanese because they're still searching for their loved ones? You just came through a week where we remembered what took place 18 years ago. In September. And we're
were 3,000 people lost on one day. I think there'll be moments when we understand what it is to lose those we care about. But these stories are really about when we get lost ourselves because of our lack of kindness, our lack of sensitivity, our inability to be the disciples we say we want to be as followers of Jesus. And even then, you know the truth of the gospel. I mean, you're a church, right? So if I sing, "Amazing Grace," you would sing, "How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was, but now am found. Now it is time for us to give of ourselves, where our gifts, our offerings, our tithes.
Thank you.
You welcome each of us into your family. Your spirit breathes hope of life into all that we do, into our hearts, our hands, our voices, our minds, and our resources. All that we are, knowing that in your sight we are acceptable, worthy, and cherished disciples in the work and the mission of Christ's church. With praise and thanksgiving, may all that we do be a witness to Christ's wondrous love. Amen.
You can all be seated. I suspect that some of you have prayer concerns that are important to you, and I would like to know what those are.
Elder Rushon, I'd like to ask for prayers for Ione and Gladstone Crossdale. Ione's sister passed away yesterday. Ione Crossdale. Thank you.
Her sister.
Her sister passed.
First, I'd like to share prayer of joy. We have with us today Reverend Willie, who many of you know, who has been helping us with our yard sales over these many years and has had a long bout of illness. So it's great to have Reverend Willie and his friend back with us today. Secondly, continued prayers for the people on Abaco Island. When I was there back in April, my friend and I stumbled across this little shanty town, I guess, called The Mud. And I happened to see a newscast today, and there were a bunch of Haitian refugees that lived there. And the whole shantytown was totally decimated, and there were a lot of people that didn't survive. So continued prayers for them. And then also, Irene and I are going to be taking a couple of weeks off. We're going to be in Colorado and New Mexico. But the joy is, in New Mexico, I talked with Sarah Montgomery, who helps me do the Guatemala missions now, and there'll be a bunch of our brothers and sisters from Guatemala in Albuquerque when we're there, so we'll get to have an opportunity to dine with them and catch up on things in Guatemala. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's pray together. Ever-present God, we've come here to celebrate your closeness to us. We are tempted, always tempted, to respond to the allure of power and fame and the next attraction on the horizon. God, we are tempted to forget you and wander off without looking back. But we know that we can rest assured that you will search for us and that you want to find us and take us home. We pray for those who have arrived in your gracious house, not made by human hands, like Ione, that you have welcomed those we don't know or haven't seen, whose lives have been devastated by storms or violence. We are grateful for reunions of Sunday school children, people from Guatemala. We thank you, O God, that you are still resolutely searching out your lost sheep, that you are in control of the present and the future, whether we think so or not. And we thank you that Jesus is still actively present in our midst. We pray that you will break us out of the box of pride and human knowledge that we seem to hold up. We pray that Jesus will keep on receiving and eating with sinners, for that's who we are. We pray that we will be willing to let you love us more than we know we deserve. We pray for those who believe they are rightly in charge of everything and they're doing just fine, thank you. That they will have a wonderful, meaningful encounter with the risen Christ. We pray for those charged with the responsibility of education, that you, the Lord of the universe, will not be left out of their instruction. We pray for those who mistakenly think you would never choose to search for them. So embolden us as people who have been found at least today for a little while, that we might celebrate not just within these walls, but with others we encounter, for the world needs a good smile once in a while. We ask these in the character of Jesus, the great shepherd of all sheep, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory."
Thank you.
charge is one we can all share. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak and help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit go with us and abide with us all today and in the life everlasting. Amen.